continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Yesterday, the Church marked the 150th anniversary of Vatican I's dogmatic constitution, Pastor Eternus, which formally defined as divinely revealed the dogma of papal infallibility. It put into words what the Church had long believed, that when the Pope, by virtue of his authority as shepherd and teacher of all Christians, defines a doctrine about faith and morals to be held by the whole Church, he does so infallibly by means of the divine assistance the Holy Spirit gives, promised by Jesus to Peter and to the Church. As I wrote in an article for the National Catholic Register celebrating the sesquicentenary, to clarify that the Pope can teach something as infallibly true is resolutely to proclaim that there is truth, that God is real, that Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, and the truth who sets us free, taught infallibly, and that he has given his own capacity to teach the truth without error to the Church and to those he has chosen, called, and commissioned to lead the Church in communion with him. Jesus wants us to believe the truth, to live the truth, and to teach the truth about God, the truth about the human person made in God's image and likeness, the truth about prayer and the sacraments, the truth about right and wrong, good and evil, life and death, heaven and hell. The devil, on the other hand, is the father of lies, who seeks to deceive and confuse and ultimately get people to reject the truth about God, ourselves, and others, and believe, live, and teach falsely. That's why Jesus' words today in the Gospel are so important. He tells us, "Beware of false prophets, those who rather than teaching the truth, teach falsity, who rather than leading others in the ways of God, lead them astray." Throughout the Old Testament, the chosen prophets of the Lord were always opposed by imposters, those who claimed the title prophet, but didn't speak the word of the Lord, but a lie that their listeners often found more pleasant. False prophecy remained a major problem at the time of Jesus in the early church. St. John wrote in his first letter, "Many false prophets have gone out into the world." St. Peter wrote, "There are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be lying teachers among you." The Didache, authored in the late first century as a type of catechesis for the first Christians, said, "Let every apostle that comes to you be received as the Lord, but caution them to pay attention. If he teaches so as to increase righteousness and knowledge of the Lord, receive him as the Lord. But if the teacher teaches another doctrine opposed to this, don't listen to him." And the Didache summarizes, "Not everyone who speaks charismatically is a prophet, but only the one who holds the ways of the Lord. So from their ways shall the false prophet and the prophet be known." This issue, this serious responsibility of knowing how to distinguish true and false teachers, didn't end with the apostolic age. We see it in the many heresies throughout church history. We see it still today. There's a type of false prophet very common today who preaches a laxist, easy way is if the road to life is broad and to perdition narrow. He or she doesn't live by or repeat Jesus' challenge to lose our life to save it, to pick up our cross every day and follow him, to sacrifice ourselves to wash others' feet, to love God not just a little, but with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor in a self-sacrificial way as Jesus loved us. This type of false prophet manipulates God's unconditional love to pretend as if God never gave us the Ten Commandments to train us to love. Tries to pretend that sin isn't sin, that there's no need for conversion, that God doesn't really want us to heed the words to repent and believe. But simply to go out and just do what we've been doing with maybe, a tiny itty-bitty little course correction. There's another type of false prophet who separates faith from life. Union with God in the sanctuary from union with God on the streets, in the workplace, in the classroom, in the home. This type of prophet does not preach that liturgy is connected to life, and pretends that as long as one is coming to church and being generous, what that person does outside is never really a subject of God's attention. A third type of false prophet is like many of the Pharisees of old, who use the moral prohibitions of sacred scripture as weapons to accuse and condemn others, without preaching the power of God's mercy, without praying for others to convert, without taking the planks out of their own eyes. This type of false prophet creates a proud, small clique of believers apart from others, rather than moves people to join Jesus in seeking and saving what is lost. While some false prophets are easy to spot, many are not. One has to look really carefully. One has to listen. One has to observe for fruit. One has to pay very close attention to the person's verba et facta, words and behavior. Jesus tells us this in today's gospel. From the time of Elijah, prophets wore sheepskin mantles by which they could be distinguished as a class from other types of people. False and true prophets both came in the same sheepskin garment. And so one couldn't just stop at superficial vesture. Jesus said we needed to examine up close what fruit they produce. He uses two images, thorn bushes that produce tiny toxic fruit that at first glance looks like grapes, and thistles that from a distance produce something resembling a fig. It calls us to get beyond those first appearances, beyond initial words, beyond their crying out, Lord, Lord, in prayer, to determine whether the fruit they produce is good, healthy, and holy, or toxic and spiritually lethal. By their fruits you will know them, Jesus says twice, reminding us every good tree bears good fruit and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. Are those teachers we know producing good fruit or bad? Are they making us genuinely more Christ-like or less? Are they challenging us toward holiness or toward worldliness? Are they summoning us to use the words of the epistle from St. Paul to the Romans today, to present our bodies as slaves to righteousness for sanctification, or slaves to impurity, lawlessness, and sin? Putting in the time to discern between true and false prophets isn't easy, fast, or fun. Some Catholics would prefer to remain naive, as if everyone who teaches theology at a Catholic university teaches according to the magisterium. As if every catechist in schools and CCD programs reliably passes on the fullness of the faith. As if every Catholic cleric who mounts the pulpit is giving you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as God intends. To remember that there are false prophets doesn't mean that all of a sudden Jesus wants to become paranoid, distrusting any teacher of the faith, until we do an exhaustive background check on every word and action. He wants us to trust in the church is doing her job as a starting point, but also to be alert that sometimes there are false prophets who manipulate the faith of believers to justify their own behavior or to be admired and popular, or even to grow rich or enrich their parish. It's tempting, however, to focus mainly on discerning, outing, and denouncing the false prophets today who lead people astray rather than in the Lord's footsteps. But there are two larger, and I think more important, responses we should give to today's gospel. First is about true prophets. When we've recognized someone seems to be a true prophet, speaks the truth, we've learned it, seems to bear good fruit, do we heed that prophet's word, convert as they summon us to do, and sacrifice as God through them challenges us to do? While there are indeed false prophets, God never ceases to call and send out the true ones. How well do we respond to them? How thoroughly? Jesus, looking over Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives just before he would enter on Palm Sunday, lamented, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling." Jerusalem as a whole didn't convert, even when Jesus came. Do we convert when we meet the true prophets? Do we follow what they say so that Jesus, through them, can gather us together under his wings? Often the prophets Jesus sends us are not dressed in sheepskin mantles or religious vestments. Often they look like those with whom we live and work and go to school, literally. Do we accept, heed, and honor the prophets in our own home? Do we listen carefully to the saintly members of our extended family who urge us to an even greater commitment in our faith? When a relative corrects us for a bad habit, or a friend calls us to forgive, or a colleague asks us to pray, or a stranger on the street summons us to greater charity, do we recognize that they might be the mouthpiece of God? First application is how we respond to the true prophets. Do we respond with good soil bearing fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold? Or are we, as St. James wondered about many of the members of the early church, idle listeners who hear but don't act? Second main application is that by the fact of our baptism and our confirmation, each of us now shares in Christ's prophetic work. He has sent us out to proclaim the gospel to every creature, teaching them to carry out everything he has commanded us, promising that he will be with us always until the end of time. We may not speak ex cathedra with a charism of infallibility like the Pope under certain special circumstances, but just as much as Jesus has chosen the successor of St. Peter to teach the truth, so he has chosen you and me to spread his word, to pass on the faith. He has called, constituted, and commissioned each of us to be prophets. But are we true prophets or false ones? Are our words a faithful echo of his? What fruit do we bear? Spiritual grapes and figs, or wild grapes and toxic berries? What fruit do others bear as a result of their interaction with us? Regardless of how we've done until now, perhaps some of us have never really focused on what Jesus has summoned us to as much as we should have. The bigger question is, how do we become the type of true prophets the Lord wants us to be? How do we bear abundant fruit? Jesus tells us in today's gospel, it's by becoming a good tree, because a good tree produces good fruit naturally. And how do we become a good tree? It's by staying attached to Christ. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of St. John that he is the vine and we are the branches, and promises as long as we stay attached to him, as long as we're in the state of grace, as long as we abide in his word and let it abide in us, as long as we remain in a holy communion of will and life, we will bear good fruit always. To do that, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul today talks about that spirit of sanctification, and that is Spirit with a capital S. And when we're truly living according to the Holy Spirit, He helps us to preach the truth in our body language. We become living witnesses and bear His fruit. St. Paul tells us what that fruit is: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-mastery. It's a challenging list, but we should never lose sight of the fact that the apostles, the first of the New Testament prophets, were not spiritual superheroes, but people much like us with faults and failings. But they corresponded to the power of the Holy Spirit who came down on them in Pentecost, and over time bore fruit that has lasted not only down to our own day, but will last into eternity. And the Holy Spirit can do the same thing in us, and He wants to. The false prophets are those who bear another type of fruit, because in essence, they're not true sheep of Christ, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They bear bad fruit because their tree is corrupted, because they're no longer attached to Christ the vine. And have made choices to attach themselves to something else. To use today's words from the letter to the Romans, they're slaves to impurity and to lawlessness. They preach and live a pseudo-gospel of acceptable immorality, often treating sexual sins as 8 sacraments that need to be celebrated and indulged rather than things that need to be repented of and confessed. And they're popular, because many in our age want to hear that false gospel that says Christ doesn't call you to be saints. He just calls you to be a little bit better than the average other. They preach and live, to use St. Paul's terms, according to the flesh. And you see it in many of the works of the flesh Paul describes. Hatred, anger, envy, selfishness, and dissension. These people living according to the flesh are often cesspools of complaints and criticisms. They're often judging not just other people's actions, which is allowable, but their souls, which ain't. These bad fruits scandalize and drive many people away. They give a false prophecy. We need to be aware of it in others and humbly in the mirror when it obtains. The outcome of these two types of prophetic living, the false and the true, can't be more stark. This is the ultimate good or rotten fruit. St. Paul in today's epistle describes that for those who are slaves to impurity and lawlessness, the end of those things is death. For true prophets, on the other hand, the benefit that you have leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One is the path of eternal life, the other of eternal death, and of everlasting self-separation from God and His kingdom. Which path are we going to choose? It's clear that each of us would want the path that leads to life. But the question is which path we will choose in concrete choices over and over again. And what path will we help others to choose? The choice of being a true prophet is not just the path of moral integrity and cooperation with the Spirit, but one that recognizes that we need to know our faith enough to be able to pass it on with accuracy and conviction. To choose that path of being a true prophet means to take seriously our mission to preach the faith in season and out of season, with our lips and our lives, showing as best as we can the attractiveness of a life lived in accordance with God's truth, goodness, and beauty. The church exists to teach this truth. Each of us has been called by Christ to believe it, live it, and teach it. The Lord today doesn't just call us to be good trees, to seek prayerfully God's will, and then with His grace to do it. But in the sacrament, He makes us good trees. He's always prepared to give us all the help He knows we need to live up to His high calling for us in ordinary life. Today at Mass, Jesus comes as the vine to attach us anew to Him as branches, promising that if we remain in Him and He in us, we will bear fruit that will last into eternity. This is our faith. This is the truth. How proud we are to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.